Talk to you about happened in our first church in Horatio, Arkansas. Julie had just found out that we were going to have twins. And when did we find that out? In November? It was our first baby. We just found out she was pregnant. You know, we were excited. We're going to have twins. And we lived in Horatio, but they didn't have a Christmas Eve service, so we were going to drive to Georgia. And I mean, she had all these plans made. We were going to go to the Christmas Eve midnight service, and she was going to see all her friends from high school because we still were close to being in college and high school. And she was going to tell them that she was pregnant, and all her friends were going to love on her, and she was going to have this great Christmas Eve service with her entire family. And then it happened. It actually happened the week before, maybe two. There was an older couple in our church named Mr. and Mrs. Crow. And Mrs. Crow had congestive heart failure. And Mr. Crow had no children. They had no children, very few family members. And so I will never forget, it was such a sad thing to watch her slowly die. But she died like almost a week and a half to 2 weeks before Christmas Eve. And Julie knew this was going on, but they're, you know, usually within a week you have a funeral, usually, okay? And there were no family members traveling to come to Horatio, Arkansas. And so I'm kind of in a situation where you don't want to tell someone when to have the funeral, but you don't wait 2 weeks. Poor Mr. Crow chose to have it on Christmas Eve day. And, you know, I'll never forget going home. Julie was taking a shower, and I went in the bathroom, and I think I said it something like this. I got some good news and some bad news, which always means bad news, right? And I go, the funeral will be on Christmas Eve morning. And I can remember as a young married guy hearing her wail in the in the shower, just boo-hooing. And the reason is because even though it was on Christmas Eve morning, it's like 15 hours to Georgia. And there was no way we could make it to the Christmas Eve service. And so we did the funeral, and we drove all night long and got there, and we were about 7 o'clock in the morning, and everybody was ready to get up and celebrate Christmas. God interrupted our plans. We knew that. That was always a possibility. We go to another church that was very difficult. Not the church, but a little girl, foster child named Loretta, had cancer, and she'd been fighting it for a long, long time, and she died, and we buried that poor little girl on Christmas Eve. And the final one was the one that probably is more funny than sad, because those were real situations where God interrupted him. We understood that. The other one was in St. Louis. We had Christmas Eve services, and so that means I'm there. And I had about 104, 105 temperature. Not that high? Okay, that's pastoral exaggeration? Okay. I was very sick. And so I came, and I did the Christmas Eve service. And we were to go home because we had plans to put together for Kristen a kitchen. Well, I was done. After the Christmas Eve service, I was done. So we called a college student over, and he helped her put the Christmas Eve kitchen set ready so Kristen could celebrate Christmas that morning. I share all that to say this, that a lot of times we have these plans of what we want to do with our life, but God has a way of interrupting our plans and giving us new plans. The problem is, a lot of times, we're not ready for it. We say, no, I've got to go to Georgia. No, I've got to do this. No, I've got to do that. And, you know, and then God says, well, I'm changing plans. Last January, January 6th to be specific, Julie was busy and didn't have time to break a hip, but she broke a hip. I talked with a young guy yesterday at pickleball. He volunteers to help us. He played pickleball one night, went home, had a head-on collision. Lucky to be alive, but now he's walking. But God said, hey, Eric, you can slow down. You know, God has a way of doing that. The problem is a lot of time we're not looking for it, and we need to be. I like what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. He said, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. Every day you get up, you need to be ready to allow yourself to be interrupted by God. In the story in Luke chapter 1, you have a story of where God interrupts the plans of a young woman that he is going to use in an incredible way that has blessed you and I. So this morning, I want us to look at when God interrupts your Christmas plans or life in general. Okay? First thing I want you to see is found in verses 26 and 27. You need to be available when God interrupts you. You see, interruptions come in life, whether it's illness or problems or whatever you may have. They're interruptions, but God wants to use everything for His glory. And in this situation, in verses 26 and 27, you see the picture of an interruption that happens. Listen to verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Remember Elizabeth? She's down here. In the sixth month, she's been pregnant 6 months, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. The angel came to Nazareth to see Mary. Mary and Elizabeth are cousins. Always remember that. John the Baptist and Jesus are family. And we are told that the angel went to Mary in a village in Galilee to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Yeah, this girl, Mary, let me just give you a picture. She's just living her life. She is so excited because she's engaged to a guy named Joseph. They were both poor. They were both young. Some think that Mary was maybe 13 or 14 and Joseph might have been 18. And Joseph and Mary were to get married, and they were in that engagement period that lasted 1 year. And during that 1 year, Joseph was going to go back to his dad's home and build a room onto his dad's house. And during that year, Mary and Joseph may or may not have even seen each other very much. Mary would have been with her family. She would have been getting things together to move in with Joseph when the wedding happened. But for an entire year, they were to be getting ready for the wedding. And finally, Joseph would ask his dad, is it time yet? And the dad would say yes, and he would go back and bring her to his home and have a wedding. But the thing I want you to think about is how Mary was just going through everyday life. She was planning a wedding. She was getting excited about getting married. And yet we find in verses 26 and 27, she was available for God to use. And see, a lot of times I think we get so busy with our plans that we forget we need to be available. I think most people think God's going to speak to you when you're in a church service, but I'm here to tell you, I think God speaks to you through where you work and your everyday life. The question is, are you available? You don't have to go to a revival to get revived. You don't have to go to church to get fed. God is in the business of calling us to do His will. And I think that's a problem. We're not available. God, I will not do this. I am not available to do this in the church. I'm not available to do this for you. I've already decided I am not available to do this. And I want us to understand that we need to be available all the time. Whether you're at home or the grocery store, you need to be available for God to use wherever you are. As a matter of fact, I love Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah said this, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Who should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' And Isaiah said, 'Here I am, send me.'" You see, I think most Christians come and tell God what they want to do. But the truth is, God wants to interrupt your life and give you His plan instead of your plan. The problem is we're not available. We're too busy. Christmas is busy. Literally this last week, every night was taken. Every day was taken. Life is busy. And yet God wants us to be available. You may be on vacation. God wants you to be available. Wherever you go, He wants you to be available. And that's exactly what Mary was. She was available. She's waiting to get married. And listen to how God changed her plans. Look at the verses 28 through 36. The second thing, when God interrupts your Christmas plans, listen to Him. You see, it's one thing for Him to interrupt you. It's another thing for you to listen to Him. And we find in this passage, verse 28, Gabriel. Gabriel is an angel, and he's the angel that spoke to Zechariah. He is known as the one who makes announcements for God. So he had already gone and talked to Zechariah. Interesting thing about Zechariah, he was a priest. Never had kids, which made it look like he was cursed to everybody else, because in that culture, having kids was everything. He's in the temple, and he is working and serving and making sacrifices. And the angel comes and says, "Your wife's going to get pregnant." He says, "No way." The angel says, "Yes." And he wanted a sign. "Okay, give me a sign, Lord. What's the sign?" And the sign was, "You're not going to be able to what? Talk. You're not going to be able to talk." Now, I've never understood that until I started reading about when the Jews come out of the temple, when they're serving the Lord, everybody waited for them to talk. And they would come out and they would pronounce the Aaronic blessing upon the people. So here comes Zechariah, and he's out. People are waiting for him to talk and he can't talk. And they're going, "Something happened in there." And what had happened is God had spoken to him. And God had given him this good news, and he couldn't even talk about it. Well, look at Mary. Gabriel comes to her and says, "Greetings, favored woman." Hey, when someone says nice things to you, don't you get a little nervous? I'm just waiting for the other fist, you know. "Greetings, Brooke. How are you doing?" And you're thinking, "Oh no, what's Brother Bill going to say to me?" I mean, seriously, greetings. And then he says, "The Lord is with you." And I think she's getting a little nervous. Then look, it says in verse 29, "Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Now, anytime an angel talks to you, it gets your attention. You just read the Bible. They all freak out. If the angel spoke to you when you're at lunch today, you would freak out. Angels kind of do that to you. And so Mary is talking to this angel Gabriel, and she's going, what is he talking to me for? Then look what he says. He says, don't be afraid. She must have been shaking in her boots. He says, don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. Buttering her up. God chose Mary because she was a godly young woman. And then look what he says. You talk about tough. You will conceive and give birth to a son. She's thinking, I'm engaged. I'm a virgin. I'm going to have a son? You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Hey, that's heavy. Here's this engaged woman being told by an angel that she's going to have a child, and it's not Joseph's child, it's God's child. Now, take all the sexual part out of it. This is not about sexuality. That's what I love. He says, this is a God thing. This is a miracle. But she listened. She was scared. She was confused because this is a supernatural thing that happens. But then look what she says in verse 34. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. Man, this is a cool story because all of a sudden, Mary realizes that Elizabeth and her cousin, they're bringing the top two into the world. John the Baptist was to prepare the way for the Messiah, and Mary has just found out that she's about to have the Messiah, God's Son. And the only way she could do that is supernatural. And the thing that I appreciate about Mary as a young teenage girl, she was a teenager, is she listened to what God said. Now, you and I, most of the time today, don't have angels come and talk to us, but God wants to talk to us every single day through His Word. And God has a message for you, and God has a message for me about how to live my life and what to say and what to do. God sometimes encourages us, sometimes He disciplines us, but the thing I do know is God speaks. The problem is we don't listen. We've already got the plan. And I love the fact that Mary listened to what Gabriel had to say, and she started to realize that her cousin is having the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah. And I think for just a few moments, she got real excited. I think she got real excited until she realized she's a single mom. But the thing I want you to see before we move on is, first, you've got to be available. Second, you got to listen. That hardship that you're going through right now, maybe God's trying to get you to listen to Him. Isn't it amazing how we don't listen when things are going the way we want them to go? Let me tell you what. God has a way of getting our attention. The problem is, a lot of times we just don't listen. I tell these teenagers on Wednesday nights, and I tell you every week, you got to read God's Word. You got to listen to Him. He has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. So Mary is an example of one who is available. She's one who listens. But here's the third thing. You and I got to be willing to allow God to do the impossible. You got to be available. You got to listen. And then you got to be available for the impossible. I think the church has lost that. We want God to do what we can do. We don't even believe sometimes He can do the impossible. But look at that next verse. I love it. It's one of my favorite verses. The English Standard Version translated, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. And the NLT translates it, "For the Word of God will never fail." In other words, when God speaks, nothing is impossible. The problem is we don't listen and we don't obey. But the good news is Mary's like, how's this going to take place? The angel says nothing is impossible for God. And guess what? God does the impossible. You know, I look back over the past 5 years, this church has changed so much. Changed so much. I don't even know if you remember what it used to look like in here. It was pretty dark. It's changed a lot. Your chairs are comfortable. They're not pews, but they're comfortable. The downstairs have changed. It blows my mind that $300,000 was given to do all this without a building campaign and without borrowing a cent. And people ask, I showed a guy this weekend, he's a pastor from another church playing in the pickleball tournament. He wanted to see our church, and the thing that amazed him was, how'd you do it? And my answer was, I have no clue. I really don't. Really don't. God did it. But I'm convinced God's not through. I'm convinced that God wants to do more than you and I can even realize in this church for the community, because I believe the church is for the community. It's not for you people. Did you know that? The church is God's light to the lost in our community. And He wants to do impossible things through people. You might have seen over up here, you know, April 8th is coming up pretty quick. And I just really feel God wants us to do something. I still don't know totally what, but we're going to have probably outdoor church the weekend of the 7th of April, because we've got the eclipse coming. Everybody's kind of freaky about that. Oh, what's going to happen? We're wanting to probably do like a breakfast or a dinner on Saturday. We'll have a tent. And so one of the problems that I feel like we need to do it on the hill, but the problem is the hill's not level. Needs a little dirt work, but we don't have money for dirt work. We didn't have money to rebuild either. All of a sudden, it's provided. If you look up there, there's dirt material. Not going to cost us a cent. Now, that's a miracle to me. Now, I've told them, just don't mess with the trees. I'm a tree hugger. Y'all have ruined me. I used to think, it's just a tree. Not anymore. That magnolia tree is the most beautiful tree I've ever seen. It's my favorite tree of all times. But what we're wanting to do is to make that level up there. Because in our impossible dreaming that we like to do around here, I would love to have a little chapel. So if COVID ever comes, we don't have to worry about it. We can just go outside and meet. Or if we want to meet outside, we kind of like doing that anyway. But before that, we'd have a place to play. because it's God's heel. I told the guys, I said, hey, you're just a sculpture for God. You do something pretty with that. So we'll see. I'll get the blame if it's not pretty. But you know dirt work's expensive. How many of you know dirt work is expensive? Very. That's God again. I don't know how he does it. I guess that's why he's God. But God wants to do the impossible. And I think on April 8th, I want people to know there are going to be a bunch of weirdos looking at diamonds. Not, I mean, whatever that stuff, not diamonds, crystals. They're going. I mean, I know that. Some of y'all may be into that stuff. I don't know. But here's what the Bible says about what's going to happen in April. Psalm 19, verse 1 and 2. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. When you look up there and see that eclipse with glasses, you're going to say, I know who made that. And our goal is to share that Jesus was a part of that process, you know. God wants to do the... Some churches don't want God to do the impossible. Fourth thing. It's not in your outline because I didn't give it to Greg. Greg's always got it done right. And I left out the most important part of the outline. But the fourth thing is found in verse 38. You got to be available. You got to listen to him. You got to do all that other stuff. But this is the key. The key to Mary is verse 38. When God said he's going to give her his son, here's what she said. I am the Lord's servant. You know what it means to be a servant? It means you do what the master says. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left. Woo! Now see, we just think that's a cute little saying. She says, Lord, I will carry your child. But guys, think how complicated that is. Number one, that means she is disgraced immediately because Joseph could have divorced her privately because she's pregnant, not his kid. Or he could have had her stoned. He decided he was going to put her away quietly until the angel said, marry her. And so he decided to marry her and take on some of that shame because you know everybody in Nazareth. It's like Mount Ida. Everybody's going to be talking. You see old Mary over there? She's pregnant. And it's not the end of the first year. Mary said, let it be. Have you ever thought, what if Joseph would have said, hey, I'm going to divorce you quietly. I don't want to have anything to do with you. She would have had to depend on her mom and dad. What if her mom and dad would say, you're a disgrace to our family, which they did a lot. Her only option to survive would be begging and maybe prostitution. Or it could have been that she would have to live with the stigma of being crazy because she has God's son and people don't tend to think that's normal. And it's not. But the thing that I love about Mary, she says, Lord, whatever your will is for my life, I'm all in. No strings attached. Man, God is looking for men and women with that kind of attitude. You know, it reminds me, I remember my point in my life when I was a single guy. I graduated from college, not even dating. And I had to make a decision. I will only date and marry a godly woman. Which meant I didn't do a lot of dating. We need to understand that surrender is when you say, not my will, your will. Surrender is when you say, I'm all in, God. I don't care what the future holds. I want to do your will. Mark Batterson says it so well. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Is your goal just to die safely? Surrender to Him. You say, well, that sounds scary. Surrender to Him. It's the only way. The fifth thing, when God interrupts your Christmas plan, share your journey with someone who understands. Right after the angel told, I love the picture, right after the angel told Mary that she was going to have God's son and that her cousin Elizabeth was married, she walked 50 to 70 miles to see her cousin. And I can just imagine Mary and Elizabeth talking about having God's two most famous people coming into the world. And I would imagine that Elizabeth was able to say to Mary, hey, people are going to make fun of you. People are going to say things about you they did about me. I'm too old to have a baby. It's a miracle. And I can just imagine them talking. And I can imagine the tears that Mary probably cried when she had to tell Elizabeth bye and walk home to find out how Joseph would respond. You see, when spiritual good things happen, it's fun to have people to share it with. And Mary and Elizabeth were like that. And here's the last thing, and I'm done. Praise God. When God interrupts your life, praise God for using you. I love it. Right after that, she breaks out into song. Now, you know, I've seen about 10 times already this year, Elf. How many of you have watched that deeply spiritual show, Elf? Okay. And there's a line in Elf that I love. It says, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Here's what I think. I think Mary is doing that. She's singing. If you read 46 through 55, she is praising God that He has chosen her. This, and she is saying, I am a poor young woman, but you have chosen me. And her song is one of victory, not because of her, but because of God. Listen. When God does the impossible in your life, He gives you a new song. Some of you know that when you've been given a death sentence and God heals you, you get a new song. You see, don't forget these things. Be available. Are you available? Listen to Him. Allow Him to do the impossible. Surrender to Him. Share the journey. And sing a good song. Well, I'm not a big singer. And y'all know that. I sing and I like to sing and worship. But you never hear me just singing for fun. I just don't do it. You know. But I love Christmas music. I really do. It's one of my favorite times to sing. Because it gives me joy when I think about what I'm singing about. Well, we're headed into a new year. Will you be like Mary? Available? Or have you already got it planned out for Him? Let me tell you what. I have found it's very dangerous to plan out what you're going to do for God. Because He has a way of changing things. He really does. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for Mary. And Lord, she was all in. She knew that it could have been a difficult situation, but she was all in because she listened and she surrendered to you. Lord, the only way you do great things in us is when we listen and surrender. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for just the spirit of it. May we all be like Mary, willing to do whatever you want us to do, And Father, may this Christmas season will be, may it be a season of us really understanding what it's all about. It's about a Savior. It's about a Redeemer. It's about a King. It's about a Messiah. I thank you so much for Him. Be with us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a few